get ready. They're in Vegas coming up on Sunday, where the Raiders just got shredded by Charlotte, so Carolina. So that'll go over well. And then in Washington on October 6th, in Philadelphia, who just shut down the high-powered, really potent New Orleans Saints offense. Gave up 12 points in that game. So boom, boom, boom. Raiders, Commanders, Eagles. Three games in a row, all on the road for the Browns with a record of 1-2. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy there is Andy Baskin. Andy and I both working yesterday on the Browns Radio Network. Andy doing pregame. I did postgame with our buddy Tyvus Powell. Hmm. And Tyvus joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline momentarily. In fact, let's go to him right now. Hi, Tyvus.
Hey, Tyvus.
Hello, guys. How are you two doing today? I hear the phones have been off the hook.
Off the hook. You know, the sun is not shining all over Northeast Ohio, and I know with Ohio State putting up 49 on Marshall, the sun must clearly be out in Franklin County or wherever you are.
You know, the thing about this is it's this wise quote. I'm not going to quote it 100% correctly, but it says something about learning to dance in the rain. And that's just what I've learned to do in my lifetime. Even if it's not great weather, I have no problem getting my boogie on in the rain.
That's good to know. See, things I didn't know about you. So there we go. Hey, I did a little checking and just wanted to confirm what my head was showing me. The Browns are dead last or close to last in numerous passing categories. Yet they're third in the NFL in pass attempts, Tyvus. Okay, you answered before I even said a question. I mean, let me go over it. Third worst completion percentage, worst yards per attempt, third worst yards per game, most sacks, fourth worst passer rating, yet third in pass attempts. Why are you trying to do something you're not good at?
You know what it is? It's because they're forcing it. You know, they're forcing it. When you think about the Cleveland Browns, they so desperately wanted to transcend this team from being a run-first team to a pass-happy team. And it's just not working. You know, I think that when you think about, you know, Deshaun and everything that he did in Houston, you know, it was a lot of him kind of improvising. I don't think he's used to just like being a timing guy, you know, where at a certain time I'm going to do three, take my five step drop. When I hit my hitch, boom, I'm going to throw it right here. Like, I don't think that's how he's best utilized. It's more chaotic than that. He's more, look at the field. If it ain't there, scramble around, have some fast receivers and let them go. I mean, you think about the wide receivers he had when he was in Houston, and you think about the ones that we have here. We have people that are route technicians. In Houston, he had, outside of D-Hop, he just had speed, and it just worked for him. And I think that they're forcing it, you know? I just think that, you know, Kevin's system maybe just not works for what Deshaun was good at. And, you know, you go get Ken Dorsey to try to help that out, but we haven't really seen a change. It still looks like at the end of the day, it still looks like they are running what Kevin is specializing in. And I mean, I understand that they have some success with it. So I think that's what it is. I think this team has to just get a reality check and just say, you know what, we are a run first team. Let's get back to establishing that run game, and we run play action, you know, and we try to do the best we can there. But at this moment, this scheme and Deshaun, those two just don't seem to fit quite well to me.
Why I'm just asking this because his name comes up like three times a show. Why did it work so well with Joe Flacco?
Because Joe Flacco's used to doing that. You know, you think about when he was with the Ravens, they were what? They ran the ball and they ran play action off of him, and he had a really good arm, you know? And that's just not, I mean, when you think about Deshaun, you think about prime Deshaun. What did he do? He broke out of a sack, scrambled around, got some time, and just chucked the ball deep down the field. And he got somebody, Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks or somebody was down there to make a big play. Or if he did have to throw it at a certain time, he threw it to D-Hop, who was just one of the best possession receivers. You just put it in the area and D-Hop came up with it. I mean, you got to think, this is prime D-Hop we was talking about. So, you know, it's not the same. You know, it's just not the same. And I will say, you know, going back, you know, I know we had a lot of angry callers, and I kept telling you that the line wasn't great, which it was not. But I will, and I also admit it, that Deshaun missed some throws. He's not really seeing the field well as well. You know, it was some situations that took place where it was just like, dude, like, just make the throw. Like the Jordan Akins in the flat, like, he was open. Like, just make the throw. Standing there, we know you can take. We know you're probably going to get hit, but you've taken a bunch of hits before. Standing there, deliver that ball to Jordan Akins, and let's keep the chains moving. And he pulls it down and he tries to run, because that's just kind of what he's used to doing when sticky situations come up. He used to pulling the ball down, scrambling around, making something happen, keeping his eyes downfield, and finding a guy that he can throw it to deep. And the Browns receivers, that's just not who they are. You know, that's just not the type of game that they play. So right now, I just think that they need to go back to the basics, and that's figure out that run game. You think about Jacksonville. Why was they successful? Why did it look better? Because they established the run.
Tyvus Powell joining us. I don't know if you heard Kevin announce Wyatt Teller knee situation. He's out multiple weeks as a candidate for the IR, Tyvus. So Teller's going to be out at right guard. We're still not sure who the right tackle is going to be. Is it DeJuan? Is Jack going to be back? And is Jed Wills okay to play left tackle? Maybe you have 40% of your starting offensive line. How do you make a situation like that tolerable for a football team?
Well, I tell you what, when you know that your offensive line isn't great, the deeper development routes is not an option, you know, especially when you think about Max Crosby and Christian Wilkes. Like, you can't. Those guys are good. They're a great pass rusher, so you're not going to have a ton of time to do what you want. Plus, you ain't got a lot of your starters in there. So you got to go back to what you talked about all training camp, and that's get the ball out your hands fast. Have your receivers win the run. You got to, if you're going to utilize, because you're stuck, you're handicapped. This is what it is this season. So you got to run the ball, and you got to have your receivers win quickly in their quick game. You know, running slants, running dig routes, running overs. You know, that's what it's going to have to be. And Deshaun's just going to have to really swallow his pride and just deliver the ball in a timely manner. You know, he can't play the backyard football right now because, like I said, they just don't have that personnel for him to do that right now. So that's what y'all did. Y'all spent the whole training camp and all the OTAs talking about getting the ball in and out of Deshaun's hands. It's time to put that to the test, because that's what you're going to have to do until your offensive line gets back in the full attack.
Myles Garrett, we're not exactly sure. We know he's dealing with feet issues, and now it's something that Kevin doesn't really want to talk about. You know, your thoughts on not having him, what that does to the dynamic in the locker room, and obviously we all know what that's going to mean on the field.
I think last year we got spoiled as a Cleveland Browns organization, or a fan base, I should say, because we adopted that next man mentality so much, and they overcame a lot, you know, people thought that that's normal, you know, that somebody goes down, the next guy goes in there, can still get the job done to the same extent. And I think people are finding out that's actually harder than what you think it is. That's the guys are starters for a reason, guys are twos for a reason. And, you know, when I think about Miles not being in there, you know, we've been waiting for years for another premier pass rusher to emerge opposite of Miles. You know, you think about Miles is just a freak. He's one of the best. Defensive player of the year, all of those things. And to think that he's not going to be there, especially when you think about Jim Schwartz's defense of only rushing four and having everybody else kind of be in coverage, where is that pressure going to come from? You know, guys aren't – now, these guys were getting single block. And Miles dealt with a double team and a triple team. Now you're telling me you might potentially you're going to go into games and now – they can double whoever, you know, it don't matter who it is. They can just double them now. They ain't got to worry about changing their offense to try to stop Myles Garrett or slow him down. Like, it's scary to think about those things. Guys are going to have to step up. And I'll tell you what, Jim Schwartz, last year, Kevin, I thought Kevin did a good job of earning his paycheck. I think now, this year, if Miles is not in there, it's Jim's turn to earn his paycheck, you know, come up with some creative ways. Because it seems to me people figured out what you were doing. And don't get me wrong. I've been a part of a scheme where people knew it. When I was in Seattle, people knew exactly what we were running. But we had that same mentality that I think Jim Schwartz has with the Browns. You know what we're in, but can you stop us? Like, what you going to do to beat it, you know? And right now, when you're losing guys, like a guy like Miles, like it's hard to not – you got to switch things up a little bit because you got to still find a way to get some pressure there. You still got to find a way to be effective. Miles did a really good job of hiding a lot of things, a lot of mistakes. Now these guys are going to be asked to play mistake-free football. So, yeah, it's going to be tough if he's not able to go.
Mr. Powell, we will chat with you on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good. Go Bucks, go Browns.
Tyvus Powell, Browns Radio Network. You'll hear him with Andy pregame Sunday as the Browns get ready to play the Raiders. You'll hear him with me after the game as we talk all about it. Been a depressing day, Andy.
Has it? Hasn't it? Yes, it has.
It's been a depressing
day. But we knew this was, and we knew we were coming in, and we've given the folks a good opportunity to hop on the phone lines and let us know what you think, because I think every Browns fan, good, bad, indifferent, has probably had gone through the same emotions that all the callers have done today. We've all gone through this, and so we all understand it's Monday, and you know what? You're one win away from changing all of your fortune. So I think we've sat here for 13 years long enough to do these Browns Therapy Mondays to understand exactly how this is going.
You're like Captain Happy.
I'm not Captain Happy. I'm unbelievably frustrated over what we watched yesterday, but I also know from a Browns perspective, I mean, like, we all sit here on the outside and we all watch everything that's going on. And, you know, there are just some things that look so obvious to us. Run the ball, right? The whole world, run the ball.
Hey, your passing game's not real good.
We see it. We just wonder if they do. That's all. And I think this is your opportunity to just kind of say it. And again, I remind you that everyone that goes to work in Berea doesn't go, I hope we suck this week. Hope we're the worst football team in the NFL. No one's going to work out there to do that because they know how fragile their jobs are. I mean, we sit here and we've got folks that want to fire a two-time coach of the year. Okay, well, maybe. And then they showed that graphic of coach of the year. They're like, oh, yeah, those other guys did get fired.
Vrabel and Dable.
Yeah.
Whoops. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Cool Ray, what are you baking today?
Cool Ray.
Nothing right now, but I'm about to bake this coach. I'm one of the ones that want to fire him, get in my body.
Wow, did I tee you up and did you hit it deep?
What's the setting here? Do I need to preheat or no?
Man, you got to preheat this dude, man. Come on. We watched that game, and I know everybody's going to keep blaming Deshaun, but listen, 8 sacks, no time to throw the ball, no separation to receivers. Like, what is the person supposed to do? Like, real talk. You can't get no – I mean, nobody can do with this team. And I'm going to disagree with you, Baskins. You know, it is on the coach. It's definitely all on the coach.
Well, that's at the end of the day, it is on the coach. I'm not going to – I'm like, I can't argue that point. It is. But I do know the coach didn't wake up today and go, man, I hope I lose, you know, 4/5 of my offensive line so we can go out and try to win a game. And I also know that Kevin throw a block before.
But you know what, though? It is Kevin's job to make sure those guys know how to throw blocks. It's Kevin's job to make that. Now, I was on Baker Mayfield the whole time he was here. I even named him Baker Manziel. Right?
Oh, we know. We know.
We've heard.
Look how great, look how good this guy has been playing when he away from Stepanski.
Seven points against the inept Broncos yesterday.
Yeah, but he's 2-1. Easy. He's 2-1. I got your back on that one.
Cool Ray, he's been real competent. Let's not take it any further than that. And he was very good when he was with Stefanski here when he was surrounded by good talent. He did a solid job here, too.
But at some point, fellas, we got to be honest. This team looks inept. This team doesn't look ready. To me, I've always said he's an eight coach. If the defense don't bring you up on the other seven games, we're not going to go anywhere. This guy is not ready. And it could just be him. Maybe it's got to be a chemistry issue. Maybe because of Deshaun Watson's off-the-field stuff, it's really just don't coincide with him or something. But whatever this is, we can't keep blaming just the talent. Sometimes it's the person driving the car, just making the car drive bad. It ain't the car.
All right, Cool Ray. Thank you, buddy. Cool Ray, a fabulous baker, by the way.
Have you had any of his?
Yes, so have you.
Oh, I have?
Mm-hmm.
What did I have?
Cheesecake.
Ah.
George is in Mentor. Hello, George.
George!
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up with you?
You tell us, George.
Well, Cool Ray was pretty much on point here.
Okay.
About Baker, but Andy, you brought up the salient question to Tavis. Oh, why didn't it worked with Joe Flacco. What happened? Well, it worked with Joe Flacco, if you want to brush aside Tavis's expertise answer, which was very good. Flacco is a winning quarterback who knows how to run a team on the field, a team that may be absent key players.
Sure kicked butt in New York with those Jets. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
Jeff will always find the other stat. He'll always find the other stat.
Forgive
for
me.
You.
Joe did a wonderful job here last year. He's not a great NFL quarterback. I don't know if he ever was.
Well, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, Jeff.
Congratulations. I wish I had that defense. I don't mean to knock Joe. He was wonderful here. It was a great story. But, George, this is much bigger than Joe Flacco stepping in.
103-82 is career record.
Well, it may be bigger now with Flacco gone and them without a quarterback. Look at what happened yesterday. It doesn't take expertise to realize that it just isn't there. The money he spent for him is not worth it. And Joe Flacco fell into their arms by accident. And what happened? Deshaun's coming back. We don't need you. Get the hell out. Whatever. It's really nice of them.
George, thank you.
Show business, not show friends.
Wonder if George has a brother in Kent.
113-88 if you include his postseason.
Anything else you'd like to prod?
I'm just giving you facts. That's all. They're facts.
You want him quarterbacking this team this year? You had to put Watson in there.
Let me ask you this. What if Deshaun's contract was up last year? Would you have been okay coming back with Flacco and maybe perhaps drafting a quarterback? Let's say his contract was up last year, end of the season.
Joe Flacco had a
magical... That's not what I asked.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh,
Joe
okay.
Flacco had a magical run here. It was phenomenal. It was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a very, very nice job here and threw plenty of interceptions, including a couple of nasty ones in a playoff game.
You know what?
And I would not have made him the starting quarterback on this team if Deshaun Watson had announced his retirement.
If Deshaun Watson had announced his retirement, I would have brought Joe Flacco back as your starter, and I would have drafted a quarterback in the first round.
I had a first round pick. I'd prefer Jameis Winston to Joe Flacco.
Okay, I would have come back with that, with my answer. I would have come back with Flacco, and I would have drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Jay is in Erie, Pennsylvania, home of the Wonders. What's up, Jay?
Hi, Jay.
Genuine question. How does Joe come off the couch and just make it look so smooth and effortless? I'm not advocating for them to keep Joe Flacco, but I think it was kind of silly. The reason they didn't keep him is because all the fans have been cheering for him yesterday. But how does a guy come off the couch and make it look so easy and so effortless, throwing for 300 yards a game when Deshaun can't even throw for 200? Again, this isn't a knock on Deshaun, but I just don't understand how that can happen. Does anybody have any answer?
A little bit of a healthier lineup. You had your number two receiver. He had him. He had Njoku. I'm trying to say the same thing, Jay. I agree with you. Like, I don't know why was it so. He threw 300 yard games with no problem at all. And I know I'm getting huffing and puffing in this room because these guys don't agree with me, but I don't care. I'm just telling you that what we saw last year, when you look at the big picture of the Browns, was something special. And could he have repeated it? I don't know if he could have repeated it. I would have liked to have had that option going into the season, but this is where we are, and I knew that this would happen. I'm not shocked that people are calling about Flacco.
Let me give you this thought. And Jay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jay.
Real quick, this thought. Dan, I'm sorry. I'm going to go over by 30 seconds. Joe Flacco was very good here last year. He had a record of 4-1 in 5 starts. Deshaun Watson, in games that he played 5 full games. He was 4-1.
Jeff, I don't think...
Stop. PJ Walker was 1-1.
Give me a moment to retort then.
Okay, Dorian Thompson Robinson was 1-2. What this team was last year is better all around. That's what this team was last year. Better all around.